We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to be with you today on this edition of the program. Walker Wildman here with you. Rick Green and I host the show each week here on American Family Radio. And we hope to bring you the core of what's going on and get to the core of what's going on in our country and do so from a biblical perspective. And if you listen to the show, even for 5 minutes, hopefully you understand that we are covering the news of the day. We are providing commentary on the news of the day from a purely biblical perspective, all right? And as I talk about often, if we exclude the Bible from our conversations and from our assessment of the culture, the country, and the world, then we really have no basis at all to stand on, no foundation to stand on. So everything we do needs to be looked at through the lens of the Bible, and that's what we do here on the program. Well, speaking of the Bible, we're in Psalm 144 this week. Verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." So we've been pointing to the scripture this week because the Lord prepares us for spiritual battle. He prepares us for spiritual warfare. That's what Psalm 144, verse 1, is pointing to. David very well could have been talking about physical combat as well here in this context. But the truth is that the Lord also prepares us for a spiritual battle through the power of His Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. So that's Psalm 144, verse 1. Our Activate Summit coming up this summer, June 12th through the 14th. We would love for you to join us at Cadence Bank Conference Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Once again, this is our Activate Summit 2025, taking place June 12 through 14. Our theme is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of the Bible, on the authority of Scripture. Todd Herman's going to be there, Dr. Alex McFarland, and many, many others. Frank Turek, Ed Vitagliano, Abraham Hamilton III, we're all going to be there at the Activate Summit. So join us this summer, June 12th through the 14th. If you want to know more and register, just simply go to activate.afa.net. Right there on the homepage, you can register at activate.afa.net. Well, jumping into the stories I want to get to this segment, and in the next two segments, we're going to have guests. Next segment, we're going to talk to a representative of Preborn about our partnership and how you can help fund free ultrasounds for women and babies. And then we'll talk to Chris Woodward in the last segment. Well, states are going to play a critical role in helping President Trump fulfill his border, not only his border control, but also his mass deportation plan. That's a fact. Anybody who is read up on the issue of mass deportations and immigration enforcement, a large portion of it has to do with states cooperating with the federal government. And someone who knows this very well as a former prosecutor is Governor Ron DeSantis. Let's listen to Governor DeSantis of Florida talking about how his state will work with President Trump on mass deportations and all things immigration enforcement.
On the head of a natural disaster, you got people that come here without authorization and they go out and try to loot the place. Give me a break. Those people need to be sent back immediately. So this will end up helping the overall situation, even apart from immigration. Now, the accountability is significant. If those duties are clear in law, I have the authority with respect to certain officials to suspend them from their office if they are neglecting their duties. And that's a authority that I have invoked when it's been appropriate in the past. We also need to make sure that we don't have incentives for people to come illegally. We enacted E-Verify. People said that couldn't happen. We really did probably the strongest legislation in the country in 2023. So I think Florida has really done a great job with one lingering exception. So back in 2014, the legislature enacted and then the then governor signed legislation providing preferential tuition for illegal immigrants, in-state tuition. That is a benefit that you're rewarding somebody for being here illegally.
All right, so that's Governor DeSantis. He's talking about a couple things there, but it all has to do with the illegal immigration. And on the first point, he's talking about removing state officials that refuse to cooperate with President Trump. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. The governor has the power in Florida to remove state officials or even some local officials who refuse to cooperate and abide by federal immigration laws. So Governor DeSantis knows his executive authority, he knows his executive power, and he's willing to exercise it should some local officials want to play sanctuary city in the state of Florida. Then he reveals this law on the books that was signed in 2018 that allows illegal immigrants to get in-state tuition. This is insane. Should have never happened. I don't know why the previous governor, which would have, I believe, been Rick Scott, why he would have signed that into law in the state of Florida. So bad idea. That's got to be repealed. I believe Governor DeSantis is working on that. It's possible he's calling a special session to repeal that law that gives illegal immigrants tuition in the state of Florida. But states are going to have to work with President Trump on this because, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, anybody who knows about how on earth you would logistically pull off mass deportations, this is going to involve deputizing state and local law enforcement. That's a fact. The federal government, federal law enforcement, and federal judges have the ability to deputize state and local law enforcement to carry out and work in conjunction with Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. So this is not, by the way, the only reason we need, this is, if you remember one thing from this segment, remember this. The only reason we need mass deportation is because we had mass illegal immigration. The only reason we need mass deportation is because Biden created mass illegal immigration. President Trump should say that every single time he steps to the podium to talk about illegal immigration. The only reason we need, for the third time, mass deportations is because we have mass illegal immigration. But deputizing local and state law enforcement to aid the federal government in apprehensions and deportations is not a new concept. This has been in statute for a long time. But the federal government has the authority and the power to enable local and state law enforcement to aid them in mass deportations and apprehensions of illegal immigrants. So that's going to have to happen. That's a fact. I know Tom Holman and others are aware of that. They're working on that, and that's going to be deployed very, very quickly around the country. And the good thing is, folks, is the vast majority of this country is red. That's a fact. The vast majority of this country and the governors in this country are red state conservative Republican governors. So they're going to cooperate hand in glove with the federal government on this subject. Also, on the matter of illegal immigration, while we're here, folks, all illegal immigrants are criminals. All illegal immigrants are criminals. All illegal immigrants are criminals. By definition, the term illegal immigrant means you've already committed a crime. Well, what crime have they committed? Well, they committed the crime of trespassing into our country, illegally crossing our border. That in and of itself is a crime worthy of deportation, okay? So we don't need to create this perception and this common misunderstanding that you have to commit a violent crime or rape someone in America in order to qualify for deportation. Okay? And I'm thankful Tom Holman did not take the bait when he was pushed on this. When they ask, oh, are families going to, are children going to be deported? Yeah, they're going to be deported with their families. Well, what if their families aren't here? Well, that means they're victims of human and sex trafficking. So they're going to be deported and we're going to take them back to their families back in their home country. So no matter which angle you take this, the reality is that every illegal immigrant is eligible for deportation. And Tom Homan would not take anyone off the table, and he should not. Our government has no business telling anybody who is in this country illegally that they're exempt from deportation. That's just a fact. And that's actually ignoring and countering federal law on who's eligible and who's not to be in this country. And so the deportations are going to be massive, and they need to be. And they need to be broad, massive, and persistent over the next 4 years. So on this subject, Pam Bondi, the incoming attorney general, the attorney general nominee for President-elect Trump, was interacting with Mazie Hirono, the senator, on J6ers. And they wanted to keep bringing up 2020 and the election and J6, January 6th, and on and on and on. I mean, they were bringing up, talk about old news. But they failed to talk about the current issue that we have, which is mass illegal immigration and how illegal immigrants are victimizing American citizens. So let's listen to Pam Bondi, the incoming attorney general, completely turn this narrative against Mazie Hirono and focus on what we should be focusing on, and that is illegal immigrants. Clip 3.
During the election, during the campaign, first, are the felons convicted of breaking into the Capitol on January 6th hostages or patriots, quoting Trump, as President-elect Trump has said repeatedly? Do you agree with his characterization of the felons that I referred to?
I am not familiar with that statement, Senator.
I just familiarized you with that statement. Do you agree with that statement?
I'm not familiar with it, Senator.
Okay, no answer. He has also said illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. He said that in December 2023. Do you agree with that statement?
Senator, I am not familiar with that statement, but what I can tell you is I went to the border a few months ago. I went to Yuma, Arizona, and what I saw at that border was horrific, Senator. It was horrific.
Ms. Bondi,
I went to a rape crisis center.
That is not my question.
I went to a rape crisis center. I'm not familiar with the statement. But I went to a rape crisis center. I met with border patrol agents. I'm sure you've been to the border as well.
I want to get to my next question. So
to answer the question, according to my opinion, illegal immigrants are poisoning the blood of this country. And that shouldn't be a controversial statement, folks. It shouldn't. And how can you articulate that? How can you justify that statement, which I guess has become inflammatory, that President Trump said? Well, the reality is, folks, is illegal immigrants on face value crossing our border without permission of the federal government and without proper documentation is an utter disrespect and a disregard for American sovereignty. Furthermore, a lot of the people crossing the border are bad actors, okay? So let's don't act like we have a bunch of angels crossing the border. The vast majority are men, and some of them are cartel related. And these men have no heart, they're ruthless, they don't respect American values and the American Constitution, and they rape and pillage everything they touch. So yes, in many ways, illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of this country. And if you doubt anything I said, then you can go talk to the young men and women who've been raped and murdered. Talk to their families who have been raped and murdered by illegal immigrants under Biden's regime. Then we can talk about the statement poisoning the blood of this country.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us, Walker Wildman here. Well, one ministry that we've been partnering with here on American Family Radio for several years now is Preborn. And Preborn provides free ultrasounds to moms and women and babies that are in need. And the success rate, the conversion rate of women that choose life after seeing their baby on ultrasound is very high. It's upwards of 80 to 90%. And this is just one way that the pro-life movement can really make an impact. And that's why we partner with Preborn. We have Grant Getty on with us now. He's Senior Director of Ministry Development with Preborn. Grant, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Walker. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. We appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Well, AFR.net, folks, before we jump into the content and kind of get Grant's perspective on the importance of Preborn, right now you can go over to AFR.net and donate. AFR.net right there on the homepage. You can donate towards Preborn, towards this project, and provide ultrasounds for women and babies all around this country. Grant, give us kind of the scope of Preborn, because many people hear us talk about it, but talk about the reach of Preborn and how many local pregnancy resource centers you guys partner with.
Yeah, absolutely. So Preborn's been around since 2007. So for those 18 years, we reached, you know, over 500,000 women with ultrasounds and with the love of Jesus Christ. We are a ministry. Our mission is to save babies and souls, and we take that really seriously. In fact, our ministry verse is Romans 1:16, because we don't just believe in saving babies. We think that the life and the heart and the soul of the mother is just as precious and important. And so, yeah, in terms of who we partner with, we work in the highest abortion cities and regions across the country. So L.A., Houston, Dallas, Miami, really just South Florida, D.C., Chicago. These are the cities where the vast number of abortions in America take place, and this is where we prioritize. And so we have about 206 partnered clinics throughout the country, definitely prioritizing, again, those cities. And, yeah, what we're doing is we're providing ultrasounds. We're providing, obviously, the gospel as a core component. As well as up to 2 years of assistance with these moms, just to make sure, because we don't just want to have her say, I'm going to have a baby. We want to make motherhood possible for these women. And so we want to do everything possible to show them the love of Christ, as well as conveying that message of the gospel.
Absolutely. And this is just one of many reasons why we partner with you guys. Once again, we're talking to Grant Getty with Preborn Ministry. He's their Senior Director of Ministry Development. Right now, you can go to AFR.net, AFR.net. $28 provides one free ultrasound. $140 provides five free ultrasounds. And if you donate $5,000, you'll provide 200 ultrasounds. Grant, I just want to talk about not the affordability, that's not the right word, but how far people's donations go with Preborn. Because to tell me that I can provide a one free ultrasound for only $28, that's really making the dollars stretch. So just talk about the impact of Preborn from a monetary standpoint, as far as how far we can make these donations go.
Yeah, I mean, so to say we've seen 300,000 babies throughout our time as a ministry saved is incredible. But the reality is that the need is so much greater. There's a million babies a year aborted in America. And so for us, saving 60,000 babies, you know, that's amazing, but the need is just so colossal. And so, yeah, that $28, it gives someone the ability to enter the fight for life and make a tangible difference and practically save babies, because when a woman gets an ultrasound, it doubles the chance she'll choose life. And we have hundreds and really thousands of testimonies of women who have come into these centers. They're hopeless, they're helpless, and when they're met with the gospel, a compassionate person to hear them out, and then they see that baby on the ultrasound, it makes all the difference. And we're truly seeing lives saved, and we've just begun. to really start to make an impact in abortion in America. And we believe that God has given us that call. And so we take it very, very seriously.
Grant, while we're on the subject of testimonies, go ahead and give us at least one story of a mom or a baby that were impacted through Preborn's ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually just heard this one, and I thought it'd be perfect because it's in Mississippi. But Jelena, she reached out to our call center. She found us online, and she was just trying to find some hope because she was suicidal. Her husband had just left her and moved to a different state, and she just didn't think that there was any chance that she could do it. So she was actually seeking an abortion, and she got connected with us. And as our nurse got in front of her and looked her in the eyes and cared for her, and she found that there was someone there, because her mom actually brought her to the clinic because she was saying, hey, you need to get an abortion. You can't handle this. I'm not going to take care of this baby. But when she looked in the eyes of a nurse and also a counselor and a whole team of people who were there and committed to supporting her, and then they took her into that sonographer and she showed that woman her baby, it made all the difference. And she chose actually to put her baby up for adoption, which for us, I mean, that's often an outcome, that's a realistic outcome. And that's part of the resources we provide to help her then walk through that pregnancy and then make sure that she's able to get connected with an adoption option. And so that's just one example of actually this week of a woman who not only chose life, but also probably didn't commit suicide, as well as found a community of people who came around her in her darkest hour.
Wow. Once again, we're talking to Grant Getty with Preborn. Grant, let's talk about how Preborn works, like in the field, because obviously you guys can't, your own staff can't provide thousands of ultrasounds every year. But talk about this partnership with local pregnancy resource centers, because it's so efficient. You guys have your specialty. Right. You have your gifts and what you do, and you do it very efficiently, but also these local clinics do their part and they do it very well. So just talk about how this partnership works between Preborn, national ministry, and then these local clinics.
Yeah, absolutely. It's similar to what's happened in the missions movement, where Preborn doesn't assume that it knows every single minute community within America. We trust that those on the ground who understand their communities are able to provide the best holistic support. And so we find those clinics who are gospel-centered, who are devoted to giving effective intervention in the lives of abortion-minded women and holistic care through their pregnancy. We find them and we partner with them, and we help make ultrasound machines possible for them if they need an ultrasound machine. We did it for $15,000. We placed those. We actually placed 105 in 2024. And then underwriting those ultrasounds for those who need that support in terms of bringing in a sonographer, helping with nursing, helping with leadership and structure. We do many different things in terms of helping make these pregnancy clinics effective and efficient at saving babies and souls. And so that's how we're able to expand our reach the regions of the country that have the highest abortion rates, and provide that holistic care where we can then plug in people who want to get involved, who are saying, hey, I want to save babies. I want to be involved in proclaiming that I can't volunteer at a clinic, and maybe I can't join a ministry that's doing that at this point, but I want to be a part of sharing the gospel and providing that holistic care that leads to a life decision. Then we give you and your audience the opportunity. And through our campaign, you know, what we're doing right now, we're trying to save 4,500 babies. Yeah. That's incredible. And that's something that we can do together through these $28 ultrasounds. And for five, I mean, it's $140. For $140, you can save five babies. And not only the babies, you're proclaiming the gospel to these women. It's changing legacies. It's changing communities. It's truly frontline missions in the heart of America.
Yeah, and the gospel aspect is what makes you guys unique, because it's one thing to provide what's described as maybe a medical service, although it's much more profound than that, these ultrasounds and the impact it has. As a dad of five, I've seen the babies on the ultrasound dozens of times, wow. And it really moves you in many ways. Mm-hmm. But But the gospel is also center to what you guys do, and you're partnering with gospel-centered clinics in local communities. So that's a big, big deal,
right?
And it's what makes you guys different. Folks, we've been talking to Grant Getty, and Preborn is the ministry that we've been partnering with for many, many years. Thousands of babies have been saved just through the AFR partnership. And so, folks, this is one of the easiest ways that you can just maximize your impact. Something as simple as $28 or maybe even $140, or maybe you have $500, whatever you can give today over at AFR.net, 100% of that is going to go directly to Preborn, and then they're going to provide these ultrasound machines to these clinics all around the country. So this is just a great opportunity, and the impact is direct. It's on the ground. It's real. We have real testimonies. And so this is just a very, very compelling campaign that we want to bring before you here on AFR. Hey, Grant, thanks so much for coming on the program, and thanks for all your work over at Preborn.
Yeah, absolutely, Walker. Thank you for having us, and we just appreciate you guys so much, truly.
Thanks, Grant. Appreciate that very much. That's Grant Getty. He's a senior director of ministry development over at Preborn. Folks, this is just one of the tools in our tool chest that we must use to combat the pro-death movement. That's what we have. That's what we're combating here in America. There's no doubt about it. This is an evil, satanic, pro-death movement where babies are being sacrificed. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We look at America, and there's a lot of good things about America. I think America has been a beacon of hope and liberty and prosperity in many regards on the world stage. But in this area of life and babies, we've been just as bad or worse than these ancient nations and these ancient tribes that used to sacrifice babies. We read about them in Scripture, right? So we're just as bad in this specific area as these ancient people groups that we used to read about, whether it's in history books or in the Bible, that we would kind of look at and go, wow, I can't believe they did that. How I can't believe they sacrificed babies. Like, how did they allow that? Well, that's what we're doing now. That's what America has been doing since abortion was legalized and made mainstream, is babies are being sacrificed. So we have to combat this pro-death movement through a variety of avenues and using a variety of tools. And providing ultrasounds, folks, it's a very, very successful, very compelling reason to support Preborn, because these ultrasounds, they change hearts and minds. That's a fact. The ultrasounds change hearts and minds. So go over to AFR.net. Please donate. Our goal is 4,500 ultrasounds, and we're going to keep talking about this, honestly, until we reach that goal, because 100% of your donations go to Preborn, and that's how strongly we believe in this. We've got to reach this goal of 4,500 ultrasounds. Lord willing, we'll reach it this week, maybe over the weekend, but if we need to talk about this next week and continue promoting it, we're going to do that in order to reach this goal, because it's one thing to want to reach a lofty goal that maybe doesn't have a direct impact on people's lives. But folks, if there's any campaign and any project that has direct impact on whether babies live or not, this is it. This is the campaign, okay? And there's a lot of good causes out there. There's a lot of good projects that AFA is working on. But folks, this is one of the most compelling ones because of the direct correlation of moms and babies being saved, not only saved physically, but saved spiritually as well through the Preborn Project. So thank you so much to everyone who's already donated. AFR.net, AFR.net is where you can donate to Preborn. Well, back into our topics for this segment, and then we'll have Chris Woodward on here shortly. Governor Gavin Newsom has been going complete defense in California, and excuse making after excuse making has been going on, and he wants to blame everybody else and open investigations that are actually going to turn out that his administration absolutely failed the people of Los Angeles. But listen to this word salad. This is nearly a minute of Governor Gavin Newsom just completely unable to explain what's going on and who's to blame in California.
What's not, I think, helpful or beneficial is the string of consciousness these wild-eyed fantasies that somehow the state water project, we have reservoirs that are at or near historic highs, full, completely full, that somehow there's a magical spigot in California, Northern California, that just can be turned on and all of a sudden there'll be rain or water flowing everywhere. It's not helpful. It's damaging to the very foundation of the notion of what are facts, what are truths. And the fact of that asymmetry, that's profound and consequential, amplified by people like, let's be candid, Elon Musk and others. And that 1-2 punch is real. And it's not just about this fire. As are here occurring force winds of mis- and disinformation that can divide a country on a myriad of issues. This is serious.
So, number one, I don't even know half of what he said there. I heard that when I heard the word asymmetrical, he lost me completely because I don't. That's like a term you use to describe warfare. But folks, Bobby, this is like a miniature Biden. I mean, this is a younger version of Biden because
with better hair,
way better hair. But the way he articulates thing or fails to is quite the experience.
Well, one minute he says that the reservoirs are full. And then in the next breath, he says, it's not like you just turn on a spigot and, you know, the water's there. Well, right. Either it is or it isn't.
Correct. And
the videos are showing that it isn't.
Yes. And he was fact-checked on X. And according to CBS News, when the wildfires broke out, the reservoir near Pacific Palisades was empty.
That's correct.
It was absolutely empty. So, fact check, the reservoirs were empty. When the wildfires broke out, Gavin Newsom's wrong. He's lying through his teeth. He doesn't want to be held accountable. But folks, the people of California must speak up and hold him accountable for this fiasco.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Core here on American Family Radio. Well, the confirmation hearings for President-elect Trump's nominees are underway, and as of this upcoming Monday at noon Eastern, it will be President Trump instead of President-elect Trump. And the Senate is hoping to have several of these nominees confirmed on Inauguration Day, especially these national security positions. Chris Woodward's with us now. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Chris, there are some key confirmation hearings that haven't taken place yet. Two that are notable are the Department of Homeland Security, mm-hmm. Which is Kristi Noem, the governor right. out of South Dakota, and Kash Patel. Neither one of those have taken place, and it's really unclear when they're going to take place, especially Kash Patel. That's not even on the calendar yet that I'm aware of. Once again, this is an evolving situation, but Chris, it seems like the Senate, I know it's under Republican control, but they're definitely not, losing their breath on rushing through Trump's nominees.
No. And, you know, kind of given the way I have seen people like Kristi Noem and Kash Patel handle themselves on television during television news appearances or even in, you know, just speeches, confrontations with people, I can only expect it will be as many fireworks as we saw this week, especially with people like Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth taking questions. I know, you know, Doug Burgum was out there, but it was kind of non-controversial. Some of these things didn't get a lot of wall-to-wall media coverage anywhere near the level of Bondi and Hegseth, for sure.
So it turns out Kristi Noem, she is going to have a hearing today. On the 17th this morning.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
she's having hearing today, and but the one that isn't, the two that are not yet, that is Tulsi Gabbard, which that's a big position, Director of National Intelligence, mm-hmm. Especially with what's all going on the world stage, and then Kash Patel. Those two are still don't have a date yet, so that's pretty frustrating. They need to be through in an expedited fashion because, Chris, those are national security positions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we cannot be bringing in a new president and vice president next week and not have sound policy when it comes to national security.
Yeah.
Whether it's D.C. or, some Yaknapatawpha County, Mississippi, we need to make sure that we have national security wherever it may be.
Absolutely. Chris, another thing on the hearings front – The Democrats seemed, they almost sounded like Republicans at times in these hearings. And what I mean by that is they were so concerned that Donald Trump was going to target his political opponents. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where have you guys been for 4 years? And with Obama, too. This is not a four-year thing. This has been going on since Obama, hence Russiagate. But the Democrats are all concerned about Trump going after his political opponents, which President Trump literally has never done mm-hmm. with his 4 years in office.
Right.
But it's Biden that's gone after his political opponent, chiefly Donald J. Trump. Let's listen to this exchange between Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and Pam Bondi, the Attorney General nominee. Let's listen.
You have said that Department of Justice prosecutors will be prosecuted in the Trump administration. What Department of Justice prosecutors will be prosecuted and why?
I said that on TV. I said prosecutors will be prosecuted, to finish the quote, if bad. Investigators will be investigated. You know, we all take an oath, Senator, to uphold the law. None of us are above the law. Let me give you a really good example of a bad lawyer within the Justice Department, a guy named Klein Smith, who altered a FISA warrant, one of the most important things we can do in this country. So will everyone be held to an equal, fair system of justice if I am the next Attorney General? Absolutely. And no one is above the law.
Under what circumstances will you prosecute journalists for what they write?
I believe in the freedom of speech. Only if anyone commits a crime. It's pretty basic, Senator, with anything, with any victim. And this goes back to my entire career for 18 years as a prosecutor and then 8 years as Florida's Attorney General. You find the facts of the case. You apply the law in good faith, and you treat everyone fairly.
And it would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name and look for a crime. It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime and look for a name, correct?
Senator, I think that is the whole problem with the weaponization that we have seen the last 4 years and what's been happening to Donald Trump. They targeted Donald Trump. They went after him. Actually, starting back in 2016, they targeted his campaign. They have launched countless investigations against him. That will not be the case if I am Attorney General. I will not politicize that office. I will not target people simply because of their political affiliation. Justice will be administered even-handedly throughout this country. Senator, we've got to bring this country back together. We've got to move forward, or we're going to lose our country.
So, Chris, let's do a little bit of flashback.
Okay.
Because I love this. It was actually Obama that targeted journalists.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole notion that Donald Trump uses the government to go after journalists is so fake.
Mm-hmm.
The meanest thing Donald Trump has done to journalists is told them that they're not coming in the press briefing room.
Yeah, you're very nasty.
Which is not illegal, mm-hmm. right? And that whole court dispute was egregious back during mm-hmm. his first term, where I think the Supreme Court or a court told Trump that he had to permit mm-hmm. certain journalists in the White House, which is absurd and has a separation of powers issue. But number one, James Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do a whole show on this, but James Rosen was a Fox News journalist that was secretly monitored, and this is all confirmed, folks. This is not we think.
Oh,
this is we know. He was monitored using spy tools by Obama's administration, and he was a journalist mm-hmm. with Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, do the Democrats not know that they're talking to themselves here?
Yeah, they really do have short memories, and I think some of the reasons why they act the way they do is they know they have allies in the media that are going to brush it away or ignore it or not air it.
Yeah.
So the thing that stood out to me with James Rosen, not only was he spied on, but so was the Associated Press, which has the resources to really go after Obama and expose this and call it corruption and all the bad things that it needs to be called. But they were like, eh, well, I'd rather have him than, you know, John McCain or Mitt Romney, whatever it was. So, yeah, Rosen was spied on. By the way, that feels like 100 years ago.
And Trump was spied on. As a candidate. He wasn't a journalist, but he was a candidate.
Yeah, and, you know, building off of just the fact that they say one thing and do another, Adam Schiff, Senator Adam Schiff, he brought up to Pam Bondi, like, when the president comes to you with pardons and commutations, will you go, okay, Mr. President, or will you take the time to say, no, I need to go through all these things to make sure they should be pardoned or, you know, sentences should
They're talking
commuted.
To her like she's a child.
Right. Well, where were you, Senator Adam Schiff, when Joe Biden was pardoning everybody and their brother and then talking about pardoning people that hadn't even committed a crime?
Correct.
And I know he wasn't a senator at that time, but he was still a high-ranking Democrat and a well-known person who had plenty of access to the White House.
Yeah,
he didn't have a problem.
And he was
Biden.
Censured in Congress for lying.
Yes, and that was a
official
funny
proceedings
moment earlier this week.
Yeah, and he was putting words in Pam Bondi's mouth, which is also lying and misleading. And he should have been called to order by the chairman in that committee hearing. But nonetheless, which is grassly, let's talk about the economy. I want to pull up this tweet, this X post from E.J. Antoni, which is with the Heritage Foundation, or at least he's associated with the Heritage Foundation. He put out this earlier in the week. He said, this is the worst start to a fiscal year ever. Ever is in all caps. Spending is up 11%. Receipts, this is talking about the federal government. Mm-hmm. Spending is up 11%. Receipts are down 2%. Fiscal year-to-date deficit is up 40% at $700 billion. He ended the tweet by saying they're handing Trump a ticking time bomb. Chris, I'm not saying Trump can't pull us out of this, because I think he can. If anybody can, he can. But they are handing him a dumpster fire.
Oh, yes. And I think it's on purpose, because they want to make things look bad, or they want to have their friends in the media talk about, well, you know, millions of people voted for Trump to fix the economy, and it's not any better today than it was when he left office and Joe Biden saved us all. That's how they'll phrase it. I think they're purposely handing him problems to give him a really difficult winter, spring. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show. You know, Trump takes the oath on Monday. That doesn't mean eggs are going to be cheaper on Tuesday.
Right.
You know, things are still going to be expensive.
Might be cheaper by the next week.
That's true. Yeah.
I think it's going to be quicker than we think. But to your point, it's not going to be 24 hours.
Right. And, you know, talking about like retail sales, for example, the Associated Press, which loves Democrats, doesn't like Republicans. They did a story this week celebrating the fact that retail sales were doing great and the media in the year was going to kick off on such a high note. They came in below expectations. We thought we would get 0.5%. We got 0.4%, and that was worse than November's number. But you had to go to like the bottom of the Associated Press article to get any of that information.
Yeah.
And for people that don't read a lot of print news, basically they do like 1,000 words, and they put all the stuff you need to know at the bottom, which is
correct,
past the point most people stop reading.
Yeah, all the truth is at the bottom of the article. And then they can say, well, we published it. It's in there, right? All the disclaimers and the truth. Chris, I think on this economic front, I think the stock market, eventually, I think the stock market and the economy are going to be on fire, because they've been under a wet blanket for 4 years, and a year or two before that with COVID. But, Chris, it's going to take a little bit of time to really get this stuff in place, because on the energy front, I mean, you can't just... You can deregulate on day one, but the domino effect takes months.
Yeah. I could see just the mere speculation or announcement, we're going to open up drilling everywhere. We're going to buy Greenland, and we're going to put a spigot up there.
It could be a sentiment thing.
Yeah, it's going to drive interest in the stock market, speculation, all that kind of stuff. Just the announcement or the mindset that we're going to do that is going to help one way. And I think, too, when they get in there and really start talking about tax policies – and talking about maybe lowering rates for certain people, cutting business tax rates, helping out corporations, which helps consumers and people that work for them. All that stuff is going to have a positive impact. But yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while. And it's going to take really clear communication skills for people to try to relay why this is important and you need to be patient. So that way our little 5-second mentality of I need this now doesn't take over and we're misled by AP or whatever thinking, well, you know, maybe Trump didn't have it.
Well, this is just anecdotal. But, you know, we've been working – we do various events around the country, AFA does, and the – there's two specific venues. One's a hotel and one's a charter bus company. And they both are keeping their rates flat going into 25.
Okay.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard, even under normal economic circumstances, companies keeping their rate, especially these event-type companies, keeping – they usually have built-in increases in their contracts. But that's just anecdotal. But do you remember the Biden had an all-hands-on-deck meeting? I think it was a couple months ago, maybe a month or two ago. But Biden had an all-hands-on-deck meeting. It was like the first or the second time that his entire cabinet was together in one room, which is very unusual for a president. And they were basically strategizing about how to spend up all the money before Trump came in.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about cynical, and you talk about undermining. This is probably why our receipts are up, not our receipts, our expenditures are up and our debts up, because Biden's team is literally blowing through cash as we speak to get it all out the door before January 20.
Yeah, and this is the person that led us to believe that he was going to see to the peaceful transition of power. It might have been a peaceful transition, but it is a mess. It is a handful. Like Trump standing there with his hands out, and he's trying to, like, you know, he's struggling to get it all during the handover. Biden, I think, purposely wants to leave him a mess, so that way he or somebody else can Kamala on, you know, in let's say Easter can be on CNN talking about how, Trump is messing up what they left him and all this.
Did you see Biden's tweet, his ex post? In the last 48 hours where he basically said that the labor of my administration will take years to come to fruition. Months and years.
Yes. That's
he's setting himself up to take credit for Trump's policy.
Malarkey, to use one of his words. Yeah, I mean, you know, he did his farewell address the other night, which, by the way, had low ratings.
And it was pre-recorded.
Right.
They got caught.
Yeah.
Pulling the YouTube video over.
So, you know, he has his farewell moment where he wants us to believe, you know, I'm leaving you the greatest country on earth, and it's because of me.
Yeah.
And then he yells, you know, one of those things.
But to show how rookie these people are, folks, and it's actually pretty concerning and scary that they've been in charge of the government for the last 4 years, but Biden's White House staffers, in what was kind of touted as a live Oval Office address, the final one of the presidency. It was actually a pre-recorded video on a Windows computer, and they started the live stream and they were screen sharing the computer. And that you watch them search their files and they drag the video up and then expand the window and click play. And it's like, guys, how long have y'all been around computers? Yeah. Like, do you not know that you don't start the live stream and then go search for the video?
Yeah. It's like the first time AV guy at church, and he's like struggling.
Yeah, but these people are in the White House. Like, it's come on, guys, get your life together. But this pretty much explains the entirety that has been Biden over the last 4 years. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.